This is Glorified Babysitter, a DCU's Batman, Young Justice, Justice League universe fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is gen, with additional tags for alternate universe canon diversions. "No," Tim says, even as Dick manhandles Tim into cuddling their half-unconscious younger brother. "He is going to snap my neck when he wakes up, Dick. No! Why this?" "Bruce made Damian take an oath not to harm civilians," Dick says, tucking the covers around them. The signal is on. Bruce is in space, Jason is busy, Cass is doing something somewhere, and Steph is finals. "I'll just go and check it before coming back." Tim sighs, tucks Damien's head underneath his chin, and flaps his hand in Dick's direction. "Go. You're the best, Timmers." "You owe me your soul, Dick Grayson." When Tim gets adopted by Bruce Wayne after his parents' death, he is not expecting... Well... He isn't expecting much. "You're Batman." Tim blinks, stares, turns to Jason and Dick. "And you're Nightwing, and you're Robin." No wonder Robin is so good at acrobatics, Tim thinks, if he was a former acrobat. This is also probably why Bruce is such a terrible parental figure. And suddenly, everything is falling into place. This is Tim's aha moment. "Is this a cult?" Tim asks. "Because I don't really want to run around in spandex. I have dreams that require a decent 8 hours of sleep before school. Ivy League dreams." Tim and his mom have the next decade or so of his life planned out to the last minute. Dad looked vaguely disturbed, but hey, to each his own. "If you wish to be Robin," Bruce says, looking mildly bemused. He clearly doesn't understand how focused Tim's eyes are on the prize of a perfect 4.0 GPA and a decent income to support him in these times of economic depression. "You can be." "The point is, I don't want to be. So... I'm going to go upstairs and start memorizing the various organic chemical structures." Tim is 8 years old, and he is going to be the best damn psychologist the world has ever seen. After Tim gets his degree, early, because he's the best at planning and he exploits the Batcave's computer without shame, he has no job. Basically, he's looking and biding his time. "You should be the flamebird to my Nightwing," Dick says while they're hanging out. Tim holds out a hand, and Jason hands over the book he's reading, Les Miserables, then hits Dick over the head with said book. Dick yelps, looks at Tim with absolute shock, even as Tim hands the book back over to Jason. "One, Timothy Jackson Drake Wayne is no one's sidekick. If anything, you are my sidekick." Tim resumes paging through his magazine. "Two, I have no interest in going around Gotham in spandex because, unlike the rest of you, I don't have the compelling need to go out and work out my aggression and my emotional instability, as well as repress my childhood traumas through violence. I am perfectly capable of dealing with my neuroses without resorting to physical bodily harm. Third, I do most of your casework anyway. I don't need tights and a new name to validate that." Tim is perfectly happy being a civilian. His ass isn't plastered all over the television and skin tight, almost painted on spandex. And, surprise, he doesn't get turned into a walking bruise. That isn't to say that Tim doesn't get a certain amount of pleasure from making his siblings' lives absolute hell and misery when he inevitably solves their cases before they do. Tim probably should have seen their response to that. This is actually your fault. You are all actually assholes. You are a stupid head. Tim kicks Jason's shin under the table as hard as he can. Are you even listening to me? Jason grunts as he viciously highlights the blueprints in front of him. Am I the only one in this household who doesn't communicate in monosyllabic grunts? Another mildly annoyed grunt. You do realize that verbalizing your thoughts and extending them with various words and sentence structures to convey various degrees of emotion isn't actually as emasculating as society portrays it to be. Language is a highly adaptive and useful tool, and why do I even bother? Grunt. Tim narrows his eyes. I hope you realize that the building you're trying to infiltrate, judging by that floor plan, is currently in use as a meth lab, thus making it unwise to utilize anything that could create any sort of spark. As such, that makes your current plan of breaking and entering inadvisable and useless. You do realize that, don't you? Jason blinks, spits out the highlighter cap from between his teeth, looks between Tim and the floor plan, then gets up and flips the table. Fuck this shit. Tim pulls out his notebook, labeled JPT's Anger Issues, and asks, Would you like to talk about how that makes you feel? Fuck you and your stupid face. Daycare, Tim hisses. I am overqualified for daycare. Bruce doesn't even look up from his newspaper. Tim considers attempting to create some sort of Pavlovian response. As soon as he's finished eating, he's going to drop a 5-year plan for that. It's not daycare. Glorified babysitting! Tim does not want to be a guidance counselor or dorm mom for the Teen Titans or any form of teenage superhero. Or teenager in spandex. No. Tim avoided his teenage years of that. He's not going to suffer through someone else's for them. What makes you think I can handle children? Damien is on the team. Tell that to Damien. Said teenager broods into his cereal. Bruce sighs. You're the only one we can trust to take care of the children while everyone else is... He waves a hand. Occupied. Do you mean to tell me that the heroes of Earth are so busy saving everyone else that they don't have time for their own children? Tell me, is this in some way or form related to a lack of parental figures in any of your lives? Bruce's eyebrow twitches. They've never even met me. That's not a problem. In the event of any actual combat, I wouldn't be able to protect them. Besides, how do you know I could even watch over them properly? They wouldn't respect me, considering. Tim makes a face. Considering? You'll do fine. You manage with Damien. That's because Damien and I have a mutual enemy. Bruce actually does set his newspaper down for that. Is that so? And who is said enemy? Everyone who isn't them, obviously. Tim wisely does not say that. It's not even a paying job. You get a permanent residence in the heart of San Francisco, on what many people would say is prime real estate. Prime real estate shared by multiple teenagers with various social issues, also alien and robot and various criminal attacks. This isn't even something I can put on my resume. You won't need a resume. This is nepotism. I hate nepotism. I trust you. Tim grimaces. Tim, I trust you with the future generation of heroes that will eventually grow and expand to be the support system of the world and first line of defense. I hate it when you play the trust card. I've never even met this kid. I'm not trusting him with my daughter, Roy says. Dick and Jason exchange a look. Besides, he's a civilian. What does he know about taking care of vigilante-trained children? Dick and Jason exchange another look. It's a look that Roy associates with, well, you know, you really don't want to know. Tim is special, Dick settles on saying. Fuck that. I'm fairly sure that if Tim wanted to, he'd have cured cancer, then taken over the world, and erased poverty by now. Actually, I think he has a 20-year program for that, and he's just biding his time. Jason interrupts. The point is, it's Tim or nothing. And quite frankly, I think Tim could talk the Joker down from whatever homicidal rampage he's on, given half the chance. That doesn't make me feel any better. Trust me. Dick claps a hand to Roy's shoulder. Leon is going to be fine. Ten minutes into meeting Tim, Roy has to ask, because he asks everyone who ever watches his kid. What are the speed dial shortcuts on your phone? The young man looks at him over the bridge of his glasses in a look that says, do you really want to know? One is for disposal, of various sorts. Two is for poison control. Three is a phone sex operating line, because one of my best friends works there and she has all the gossip and blackmail. Four is a taxi service. Five is a bail bonds company that also provides lawyers. Six is another lawyer. Seven is another one of my college friends, a drag queen, who also has a pretty good handle on gossip. The eighth is a friend in the escort service, for the same purposes as the aforementioned. Nine is Alfred. Those are your emergency numbers? Tim smiles. You never know when you'll need some gossip. That's true. Is that a cattle prod? Roy raises his eyebrows as Tim goes through his bag to answer his cell phone. You also never know when you need to stun a bitch for being a pretentious asshole, Tim replies. Checks his phone. And that would be the Flash sending me his consent forms. Tim shoves some papers at Roy. And these are the consent forms you need to fill out. I wasn't aware that there would be... If I'm going to do this, Tim replies, with a strange glint in his eye, I'm doing it properly. And I sure as hell am getting something out of it for myself. The forms include a subclause for Pavlovian training. Bruce takes one look at Damien and signs it without a word. Tim preens, even as Bruce sighs. Get your brother to stop listening to his earphones at the table, and you can do whatever the hell you want. Don't worry, Tim says, as he holds up a manila folder with Damien's name on it. I have a plan for that. Mr. Drake is awesome, Leon says. He knows all the answers to my homework and all the answers to everything else. Is that so? Because Roy is still worried over the fact that speed dial number one is disposal of various sorts. Mr. Drake can also make Robin shut up. Roy pauses, blinks. Really? Yep. Leanne pops the pea and smiles. Mr. Drake also promised to teach me how to build my own taser. So, don't even. You're the guidance counselor. I swear to Batman, Jason, don't you even start with me. Are you, like, a dorm mom or something? What part of me is even close to paternal or maternal? Are you training them to be your loyal assassins? Do you think I'd tell you if I was? Tim pushes at Jason's shoulder. Move! You're in my space. Jason sprawls like the asshole he is. I got a message from Leon. No, look, I gotta tell you, word for word, Tim, look, she even wrote it down for me and everything. Jason squirms, and Tim hates his life. Tim flops back onto his bed and closes his eyes. You're crushing me. Because Jason is actually the heaviest person in the world. And Jason is currently lying down on top of Tim's legs. Dear Mr. Drake, Jason begins. Tim cracks open an eye and, yep, Leon did actually give Jason something to read to him. We really miss you when you aren't around. Tim mostly drowns Jason's voice out, until the point when Jason shifts his weight and plants a kiss on Tim's cheek. Tim's eyes fly open, and he smacks Jason on reflex. Jason grins, like the asshole he is, before he turns into a giant octopus and curls around Tim. All the while, Tim is yelling, "Holy God! Bad touch! Bad touch! Bad touch!" Shut up, dumb fuck. The kids heard you were sick and wanted to give you hugs. So here I am, giving you their hugs and kisses like the awesome temporary watcher I am. Tim makes a face. I hate you. And how does that make you feel? Jason says, in his most patronizing voice. Do you want to talk it out? Your face is stupid. Tim isn't at his best, okay? Being down with the flu tends to do that to a person's ability to engage in witty banter. No, your face is stupid. Thankfully, one does not need to be entirely there when it's Jason they're bantering with. Jason knows how to adjust his wit to suit a person. It's a fantastic skill, really. Hey, you said you were going to wait for me. Dick backflips onto the bed, elbowing Tim in the stomach on impact, before squirming around to cling to Tim's other side. No fair! I wanted to read Leon's letter. You got the West twins. Oh my God, Tim wheezes, as Dick pulls out his own letter. Why this? I'm sick! Why can't you just leave me alone to die? Melodramatic, Drake. Damien appears like a ninja at the foot of Tim's bed. That's not to say that Tim didn't see him coming, because Tim doesn't believe in allowing people to sneak up on him when he's vulnerable. Damien looks annoyed before he sighs and crawls onto the bed to sort of sprawl on top of Tim's chest. Wilkes wishes you the best and a speedy recovery. Aw, Tim, you've got a brood! Jason cackles into Tim's hair. Tim snarls. Dick shushes them so he can keep reading the letter out loud. Do you make them snacks and help them with their homework, too? As soon as I can sit up without the room spinning, Tim hisses, I will have my vengeance on you all. Except Damien, because we have a truce. How come I don't get a truce? Dick says, looking between Damien and Tim. Damien clicks his tongue and rolls his eyes so hard that Tim has a brief, irrational worry for him. Because you are not worthy for a truce. Damien closes his eyes and pulls his hood over his head. "Don't go to sleep on me," Tim warns. "I mean, it's not as if I'm suffocating on my own mucus or anything." "Go to sleep, Drake. The Titans are awful without you to manipulate them into behaving." The end.